Good afternoon, ladies. We are studying Parashat Vayera. These parashiyot are filled with many important subjects. However, whenever I prepare for Parashat Vayera, I'm automatically gravitated to the last paragraph of the parasha, which is the Akedat Yitzchak, which clearly is one of the most dramatic episodes in all of our history, the 10th test of Avraham Avinu. What amazes me is that we've spoken about this parasha of the Akedah tens of times. But the Akedah is so rich that every time you reread it, there's more surprises that come out. And Hiddushim. And revelations. Today is no different. I came to reveal a great secret in the Akedah that I wasn't aware of until this week. And it actually changes the whole story. In order to find revelations in the Torah, it's not easy, but you have to be willing to read the words of the text without any prejudice. The problem with us is we know the story already. So when we read the text, we're sticking our story into the text. And we don't let the text tell us the story. We know it already. So when we read it, we're putting our own ideas into the story. And then we sometimes, because of that, overlook some words. So again, I opened the Chumash and I said, I'm going to be objective. And I'm going to read it for the first time like I never read it before. And let's see what observations we can make. And then once we make the observations, let's see if we can answer them. These are the observations that I made. It was after these events. It doesn't matter what the events were. The Torah tells us Abraham was before these events, something happened. Elohim nisa et Abraham. And God tested Abraham. Now we could debate this for a long time. Who was really being tested over here? Yitzhak Avinu, who was the Korban, was 37 years old. It's not like a child that's 8 days old and he's getting circumcised. There, the test is not on the child. The child has no test. He has no knowledge of what's going on. He has no ability to refuse or to walk away. To circumcise a child, clearly the test is on the parents. But Yitzhak Avinu wasn't 8 days old at the Akedah. He was 37. He was a grown man. So clearly he could have told his father, listen, I'm not interested. He could have ran away. He could have, hid. So if you tell me that really this is a test of Yitzhak, I would have to agree with you. Now I'm not saying it wasn't a test of Avraham as well. It's definitely a test of Avraham to be able to, or be willing to sacrifice your son. It's a great test. But I'll tell you what words jumped at me here. It says, V'ha'elohim, and God, Nisa tested, et Avraham. Well, the word et jumped at me. Because I've learned from my rabbis that every word in the Torah is measured. There's no extra words. Now, if God wanted to economize the words, he could have said, V'ha'elohim, Nisa, Abraham. Et Abraham. Now, et always comes to include. God tested Abraham and something else. It's something inclusive here. But what else? Anyway, the pasuk continues. Vayomer elav Abraham. Abraham says, Hineni, I'm ready. Whatever you tell me, I'm ready. So God says, Kahna et bincha, take your son. Et yehidecha, your only son. Asher ahavta, that you love. Et yitzhak. There's a lot of words here. But Rashi already handles this. Rashi handles this. Rashi says, take your son. Avraham Avinu tells God, I have two sons. Et yehidecha, your only son. I have two only sons. Yitzhak is the only son to Sarah, and Yishmael is the only son to Hagar. Asher Ahavta, the one that you love. Avraham says, I love them both. So God finally says, okay, et Yitzhak. So everybody says, so why don't God just tell Avraham, take Yitzhak, why all the extra words? And they answer it. And I accept the answer. It's a good answer. The answer is that God wants to ease him into it. Whenever you're going to tell somebody difficult news, you don't right away say the news. You say it slowly. They say, you know, Mr. So-and-so hasn't been feeling well for a long time. And then they say, and you know, they brought him to the hospital. He was having complications. He passed away. Instead of going right away and say, boy, he passed away. Oh, he shocked him. So God has mercy on Abraham and says, Ka'na ibincha, yaidecha, ashira hafta. It is finally till he gets it, so he was able to, you know, bring it to him in an easier way. That's fine. But what bothered me is, after the Akedah, when the Akedah is over, God comes to Abraham and says, "Binishvati mi'um Hashem." So says God, "Ki ya'an Hashem asita davar hazeh." Because you did this, the Akedah is over. He passed the test. Ve'lo hasachta et bincha et yechidecha. You didn't withhold your sons, your only son. No, it doesn't say that you loved him. No, I have enough questions. My question, you don't need the word Yehidecha over there. You only need Yehidecha at the beginning because he's trying to ease him into it. After the Akedah, Abraham knows it's Yitzhak already. He put him on the Mizbeach. He should say, and you didn't withhold et mincha, period. Why at the end of the Akedah does he have to say, v'lo hasachta et mincha et Yehidecha? Why do you have to add the Yehidecha? At that point over there, there's no reason to say your only son. So we continue the story. He goes with Yitzhak to Har Moriah, to Mount Moriah, which is the temple, Yerushalayim. And they get to the place of the Mizbeah. Vayikach Avraham et Aseh Olah, he takes the wood. He has Yitzhak, he has the fire, he has the knife. Vayilechu shnei yachdav, and they go together. Now this pasuk over here bothers me. I'm going to read the pasuk to you. Vayomer Yitzhak el Avraham Aviv. Yitzhak tells something to his father. Now you all know what he's going to tell his father. Dad, I see the wood. I see the fire. I see the mizbeach. Where's the animal? Where's the korban? And I also thought that says that in the pasuk. So when I read it the first 10 times, I'm sticking my own thoughts into the pasuk. That's all the make believe you never read the pasuk before. What does the pasuk say? So I read the pasuk. Vayomer Yitzhak el Avraham Aviv. Yitzhak tells his father. What does he tell his father? Vayomer Aviv. He says, my father. Vayomer, and Avraham answers, Hineni Beni. I am here, my son. Now, that's a very formal way of talking to your... This, Lavdil, when we were in school, we read Macbeth. You know, these old English books from 1,000 years ago, that's how they used to talk. Father, yes, my son, I am here. We're not in England. If I'm walking with my son, I talk to my father like I do. I'm not in a play. I'm not in Broadway over here where I address my father. And Yitzhak turns to his father, Vayomer Abi, father. Vayomer, and Avraham says, Hineni bini, here I am, son. That's a show. Shouldn't be the father talking to his son. It should say, and Yitzhak told his father, Dad, where's the Qurban? And only then it says, after they have this whole introduction, Father, Yes, here I am, son. Vayomer, hinei ha'esh v'asima yaseh olah. Okay, where's the korban? That part I have no problem with. It's the first part. It's that formality. Why are they being so formal? I mean, especially nobody's around. It's not like they're trying to, you know, in front of people, they talk like, people don't talk like this when they're in private. Father, yes, son. This is strange. Or maybe it's not. Maybe that's the way they talked 2,000 years ago. So, but for us, at least, it doesn't sound, doesn't flow properly. Anyway, they get to the place. He puts them on the Mizbeah. He's about to slaughter him. The angel says, no, don't do it. Al tishlach yadecha. Pull your hand away. And then he passed the test, and God says to Avraham Abinu, you did it. Vayikra Avraham, or the Pasuk says, Avraham is, names the place, Vayikra Avraham Sheva Makomahu. He named the place Yira'eh. God should see. I guess God should see what took place over here. Asher Ye'amer Hayom. God not only should see what was done over here, but Asher Ye'amer Hayom, what was said over here. Behar Hashem Yira'eh. God should see what was said. Not only He should see what we did. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know what was said here. What was said? When we talk about the Akedat Yitzchak, it's not a test in speech. It's a test in deed. But Avraham Avinu says, God Almighty, you should remember Yir'eh Asher Ye'amer Hayom, what was said here today. What was said? Now, I'm sorry for bombarding you with a lot of questions. The good news is, one answer will answer all these questions. So you shouldn't think, oh no, now we're stuck. 10 questions, that doesn't have 10 answers now. You don't have to listen to 10 answers. All you have to listen to the one answer. And the one answer is not going to answer 10 questions. It's going to answer 20 questions, the answer that I give you. The last question that I asked on the Perasha, when God wants to bless Abraham, after it's done, God says to Abraham, Ki barecha barechicha. What does it mean, Ki barecha barechicha? I will bless you. But that's not what it means. Ki barech abarechecha means I will bless you twice. He passes one test and he gets two blessings. Okay? Buy one, get one free. Now, I don't have a problem that he should get blessed. Of course he should get blessed. He should get a big blessing. But it's one test, meaning it's the 10th test. You pass the test, God should say, Hazaka Baruch, Beracha. But God says to Avraham, oh, on this one, Ki barech abarechecha. Keep in mind, by the way, Avraham Abinu had another test in last week's parasha, Lech Lecha. God says, Lech Lecha, Ma'atzicha, etc. And what does God say if you pass the test? Ba'abarechicha, I'll bless you. Finish. One test, one blessing. But now we're ready, you get to test number 10. Test number 10. Two blessings. Now, again, I'm not trying to take away any of the blessings of Avraham. I'm happy that he has two blessings. If he has two blessings, that means I have two blessings. Because the blessings are for us. I'm not trying to take it away. I'm just trying to understand the logic why he gets two for one. Okay. You're falling right into the pit. I'm making the pit for you. You fell right into the hole.
What'd she say?
You'll see. I'm going to say it better than she said it. Don't worry. That happens to me, not to anybody else. Why do you have to listen to anybody else? If I set it up for you like this, now everybody knows everything. Of course, you should have told me this yesterday when I didn't know the answer. I'll explain it to you. But in order to understand the answer, you need one or two introductions that are very important. First, you have to accept fact: the Avot kept the Torah before it was given, as best as their ability. The Gemara says that Avraham Abinu even kept the Minhagim. He made Eruv Tavshilin. He kept every detail to his best as ability. To the extent, the rabbis ask, why did Avraham wait for God to tell him to circumcise himself? Why didn't he circumcise himself on his own? I mean, that's how much Avraham kept the whole Torah, where they're saying, why did he wait till he was 99? He should have did it when he was 50. Whatever the answer is, but that's just a proof to you that the Avot were very, very religious in the Torah. And how did they know? How did they know what the Torah was? They were prophets. You remember when Avraham Avinu had the guests? It says they visited him on Pesach. What do you mean Pesach? There was no Pesach. What Pesach? Avraham Avinu ate matzah. Yaakov Avinu, he told the son, bring me two animals. The Gemara says, what? Avraham Avinu, Yaakov eats two animals? They said, yeah, one was called about Pesach, one was called about Hagigah. They followed all the laws. And it's very important to know that. So whenever you study the text, you always have to say, we're talking about religious people, like us, more than us, that followed every law, even laws that you don't know about, and therefore you have to learn the story in the eyes of halakha, because these were men of halakha. You can't just say, oh, they didn't do that in those days. They weren't, it wasn't for them. No, they did everything. Second introduction. Ask yourself a simple question. Is Avraham Avinu allowed to bring a sacrifice on the Temple Mount? Can anybody bring a korban on the Temple Mount? I mean, so you're going to say before the Torah. That's an easy answer. So before the Torah, you can do anything. But if I'm telling you that they followed the law, so now we have laws here. I cannot go today to the Temple Mount, build an altar, and bring a korban. So you have to know what the Midrash says. I brought it, made a copy of it. It's a small, oh, here it is. The Midrash is in, Midrash Rabbah it's called. Perek Mem Vav. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Avraham Kohen Haya. Okay, Hazak Baruch, finish. That's all I need. So he was a Kohen. Don't ask me, what do you mean? How is he a Kohen? There was no Kohanim. He's a Kohen. Go, look at the, if this bothers you, look at the Midrash, and you could spend a Sunday afternoon analyzing it. I'll be more than glad to hear your findings. I just need the bottom lines. The class is too short, I cannot go through every single piece. He was a Kohen. Good, so to answer my question, no problem. Halakha, he was able to bring the Korban. However, my problem is what the Sefer HaChinuch said. There was a rabbi called Sefer HaChinuch, Rabbeinu Aharon HaLevi. He's a rabbi of 1,000 years ago. He wrote a book explaining the 613 mitzvot. It's a very important book. If anybody's interested in knowing the laws of the Torah, the 613 mitzvot, people don't know them. I agree, a lot of them don't apply. But it's still nice to know them. This is the book. Sefer HaChinuch, the stick, and every page is another mitzvah. There's about 613 pages in the book. Beautiful reading. There, in the 270th mitzvah, he's talking about Kohanim. The laws of Kohanim. And he says like this. He's talking about what happens if a family member of a Kohen dies. So he writes that the Kohen is not allowed to bring a sacrifice when he is onen, when a family member died. That's a law. And he says why? For good reason. He says, "Dehas rahmana alehim." God had mercy on them. Sheyishpechu nafsham bebet hamit. Let them go to the house of the mourning and let them mourn. Ki yaham levavam al kirobehem. Their heart is broken for their relative that died. So therefore, God says, no korbanot at this time. You're too preoccupied. You're too much in anguish. So the halakha says, a kohen cannot bring a korban when he's onen, or when he's mourning, let's say. So ask a simple question. What happens after Avraham slaughters Yitzhak? What's going to happen here? He's onen right there. So how's he going to ever be able to bring the korban over here? Again, if you're looking this through the eyes of Malakha, once he slaughters his son, that means Yitzhak's dead. Finished. That's not a korban. The slaughtering is not the korban. It's the fire. But once he slaughters, he's a kohen. A kohen cannot bring a korban on him. So how in the world is this going to happen? So you have to continue reading the Sefer Hayinuch. The Sefer Hayinuch says, but there's an exception. There's one type of kohen that's able to bring a korban even if he's onen. Ah, hazaka uberucha. Kohen gadol. And he says why? He says because the kohen gadol is a much higher level of a kohen. And to him, I'll read you his words. I'll tell you, I'll paraphrase it first. He says, the kohen gadol, nothing concerns the kohen gadol except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even his family members, he's detached. It doesn't influence him. Even if they die, his mind is on a higher level. He lives on a higher plane. So the Kohen Gadol is able to remove any anguish because his main thrust is service of God, his language. Masha'enokin b'Kohen Gadol. Ki mirov divekut nafsho lema'ala, because since his divekut, his attachment to God is so strong, Yitpashet legamre miteva b'neish. He's removed from the natural connections that people have with their family members. V'yashkiach milibo. He's able to forget kol esek ha'olam hazeh, anything that has to do with this world. V'alhevrat ha'karov, and on the connection that he has with his relatives, lo tibkeh nafsho. He won't even cry. Ki kevar hu nifrad b'menu. He's already separated when he was alive. He's in his own world. I go back to that midrash, by the way, that I quoted you, just to read it again. Because I have to admit, I misled you. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Avraham Kohen Gadol Haya. So now I'm good, no problem. It's important to make Avraham a Kohen Gadol. It solves two problems. If he's a Kohen Gadol, that allows him to sacrifice, and it allows him to slaughter his son and then continue. So Abraham has a plan. Abraham says, I'm able, I'm good. Halachically, I'm able to do this over here. And here is the revelation. The revelation comes from a midrash. I made a copy of it. The Midrash says as follows. Kahna et bincha et yahidecha. Take your son, your only son. I'm reading Midrash now. Where is the Midrash? It's in Devarim. Sefri Devarim. Afilu bikesha makom ma'avinu Avraham galgal eno. Ayanotenno. Even if God would have asked Avraham for his eyeball, he would give it to him. Not only his eyeball. Avraham would be willing to give God his body, his soul. God can expect Avraham to give him what's the most dear to him, his life. Take your son, your only one. So the Midrash says, "V'halo biyadua shehu beno yehido." Why does it have to say "bencha yehidecha"? We know it's Yitzchak. Ela zu nefesh. Yehidecha is something else. Yehidecha means take yourself, your oneness, and therefore, in the commandment of the Akedah, there was two commandments, I'll say, one commandment and one optional. God says to Abraham, Kahnat bin Kha, that's the main thing. And also, et yechidecha. Yechidecha means you. So Abraham, when he heard yechidecha, he said, oho. God now hinted to me that if I also want to give myself to God, I could give myself as well. Which means, according to this Midrash, and I'm going to read it to you in the Hidah in a minute, because the Hidah says all of this, There's two Akedahs over here. Everybody knows about Akedat Yitzhak. What you didn't know is Akedat Avraham. What you didn't know is that in this story over here, all these years you're living, you're saying, oh, how Avraham went to slaughter Yitzhak, and what a tzaddik he was. And Avraham saying, hey, you forgot half the story. In this story over here, as you're going to see in a minute, Avraham Abinu had full intention to not only put Yitzhak on the Mizbeach, he had full intention to put himself on the Mizbeach as well. And he understood that that's what God meant. It yahidecha. Yahidecha means your soul. Take two things. The Chida sees this in the text. Listen to the way he sees it. It's such an unbelievable situation here, man. This now is called logistics. Logistically, how are you going to sacrifice Yitzhak and Avraham? It's a logistical problem. You need a third person here. Because whoever kills the other one first, he's dead. So it's a logistically, both of them are not going to be able to be sacrificed. Oh, unless Borei Olam comes down and does something, if we see it. Or somebody's going to have to say, okay, I tried, but I can't, so at least we'll do one. And the other one will replace with an animal. But the goal of them is to try to do both. Now listen to what happens. I'm reading you now the great Rabbi Chida. The Chida. ובזה אפשר לפרש ויומר יצחק אל אברהם אביו. Yitzhak tells his father. What does he tell his father? ויומר אבי, father. And he said, what is his father? Macbeth? נבדיר? ויומר, הנני בני. Here I am, my son. Kedoman. They were saying, how are we going to work this out? By this time, Yitzhak understands he's got to go on the Mizbeah, and he understands that his father also wants to join him. So at this point over, Yitzhak said, Dad, how's it going to work? She'efshal she'ata olech letkarev. If you want to put yourself on the Mizbeah, Vayomer Yitzhak, Yitzhak tells his father, Vayomer Abi, you're my father. Which means, I can't slaughter you. Meaning he's answering, Vayomer, he's saying, Abi, you're my father. You can't ask me to slaughter you. Yeah, it's one thing if you want to slaughter me, but to slaughter I can't slaughter you, you're my father, Abi. So what does Avraham Avinu answer? Vayomer, hineni beni, ani ba'atzmi eshachet. I'll do it myself. He named me Bini, I'll do it. Look, listen to it. You hear what's talking over here? He tells his son, what's the problem? I'll hold the knife, I'll make the shaita with the kavanot. Okay, but wait. That's not the Qurban. Who's going to sacrifice you? The shaita is not the sacrifice. The sacrifice is the... But what's going to happen once Abraham sacrifices himself? Yitzhak now is in mourning. And Yitzhak is a Kohen, he's not a Kohen Gadol. And he's not allowed to finish the sacrifice. So he says, Dad, it's not going to work. If I, for me to slaughter you, I cannot. So he says, don't worry, Dad, I'll do it myself. So then he comes along and says, you can slaughter yourself, but once you slaughter yourself, you're dead. I won't be able to sacrifice you. She'ani onen, kishetamut. Once you die, I'm onen. The other way will work, but if you slaughter me, you'll be an onen, but you're a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can bring on. So look at this, they're figuring out the logistics, and they came to the conclusion, both of us cannot be a Korban. It's not going to work. Both of us cannot be a Korban. So the only way it's going to work is Yitzhak says, I'll do it. And Abraham, you had kavanot, you had good intentions. I'm stopping right here for a second. That was the conversation that Abraham tells God at the end of the Akedah. When he says, Borei Olam, Vayikra Abraham Shem Makom Ahu Yireh, look at this event. Asher ye'amer hayom. Look what was said here today. Because what was said here today was a lot. If you saw what was, if you heard God what was said, we were both trying to sacrifice ourselves. It didn't work out because of a technical problem. But we know that God gives credit for the intent. Avraham Avinu saying, when he said, I'll slaughter myself, he meant it. Anything to sacrifice for God. But Yitzhak reminds his father of that, yeah, but who's gonna do the fire? Unless you bring Ishmael. Well, Ishmael's not a Kohen. He's not even a Levi. So therefore, you can't use Ishmael. Eliezer, you can't bring either. And there was no other people around. And God didn't come down. Malachim, no. So therefore they say, you know what? Daddy, nice try. Let me do it. So Abraham will tell God at the end of the Akedah, Asher ye'amer hayom. Oh, Borei Olam, listen to what was said here today. And God hears it. That's why, what does God tell Abraham? Ki barecha barechecha. You get two blessings. You get two blessings because this wasn't one test. You get one blessing for Akedat Yitzhak and you get another blessing for Akedat Abraham. That means when you leave it today, say, what did the rabbi talk about? He spoke about Akedat Abraham. Not Abraham. It's not Akedat Abraham. That's the Hadush. Therefore, it's a double blessing. And all the answers are answered. Because now if you go back to the original text, it says, V'ha Elohim nisa et Avraham. Et comes to include. The et is coming to include Yitzhak. There was two tests over here. V'ha Elohim nisa et Avraham. That's Akedah number one. And the et is the extra one. The extra one is Yitzhak. Now if that's true, at the end of the Akedah, when it's all over, what does God say? V'lo hasachta et bincha et yechidecha. You were willing to sacrifice bincha, your son, and yourself. That's what the bincha yechidecha at the end means. I mean, listen, when I revealed it this week from the chida, I couldn't, anybody in the street I had to tell, the mailman I told the chidush when I saw him. Because he also knows the story of Akedat Yitzhak. But who knew that Abraham Abinu wanted to sacrifice himself as well? It's such an added dimension to the story. But it answers another question. You're not going to appreciate it as much as I do, because the men every morning we pray, and the prayers begin with Akedat Yitzhak. The prayers begin reading the story of Akedat Yitzhak. That's how we start every morning. We read the whole Akedat Yitzhak every morning. I'm sorry to tell you that many synagogues, even in our community, they skip. When they come to the synagogue, they skip the first pages and they go to the middle. This was never the custom in the old country. In Syria, they prayed from the beginning. They didn't skip a word of the Siddur. But today the people are running to, but in our Beit Knesset, everybody knows, we start from page one. And in page one of the Siddur, when we begin the prayers, listen to the prayer. Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, God Almighty. Zochreinu v'zochron tov b'nefanecha. Please remember us for the good. Ufogdenu b'tkudat Yeshua b'rachamim. Have mercy on us. Lanu, please, God Almighty, remember Ahavat HaKadmonim, the love of the Tzaddikim, the predecessors, Abraham, Yitzhak, Israel. And God, remember two things. Remember the promise that you made to Abraham at Mount Moriah. What was the promise? Remember the promise? And remember the Akedah of Yitzhak. And I said to myself, hold it. Which came first? The Akedah came first, and then the blessing. Here, every morning we're saying this, and for the first time I noticed, it's out of order. God, remember, if I was writing it, I would say, remember the Akedah, and then remember the subsequent blessing. Instead we say, no, remember the Shemuash and Ishmael Abraham Abinu, Bet Akedah Sha'akad. But based on what we're learning today, it's understood. Because from the blessing, we learned that there was two tests. The blessing was Barecha Barechecha. So Abraham Abinu in the Tefillah was saying, God, remember the blessing which is Akedat Avraham, and then also remember the second item which was Akedat Yitzhak. And that's why the text is perfect. Remember the double blessing. The double blessing tells us that there was two Akedot over here. So first we say, Veta Shibu'a Shirishbat al Avraham, that's Avraham's item. Veta Akedah She'akadit Yitzhak. It's in order, because Avraham wanted to sacrifice himself first. But he couldn't because of the technical reasons. If that's the case, we answer another question with the Arizal said. The Arizal writes, Abenu Ari, that the Avot and the Imahot, one of their primary purposes was to rectify the sin of Adam Rishon and Hava. And they lived their whole life trying to make this tikkun, we'll call it. Whatever they did, they always had in mind, fix the avon of our, the primordial sin of Adam and Hava. The Arizal says, for example, when Hava was born, her original name was Chaya. They still have that name today, Chaya. That was Chava's original name, Chaya. But when she made the sin, the Yud turned into a Vav. From Chaya it became Chava. It took Sarah 90 years to make the tikkun. When she was 90, the angels come to Sarah and they say, you're going to have a baby. This time next year. They say, Taka'et Chaya u'Sarah ben. But Abinu Ari says that they told Sarah, Ka'et Chaya. Now it's Chaya. Meaning, you fixed it. She's not Chava anymore. Now you made the tikkun, now you can have a baby. Well, Avraham Abinu says, Rabbeinu Ari, accepted upon himself the four punishments of Bet Din. There's four punishments of the court, and Avraham accepted upon himself all four in order to make the tikkun of Adam. So he says, fire, when did he go into fire? Very good. When Nimrod threw him into the fire, which we know about Ur Kasdim, before he went in, he said, "Vino amadu tikkun Adam Rishon al yedei esh." Now he didn't expect to come out. He got thrown into the fire. He came out, but the tikkun of esh was done. Sikila, we don't read anywhere that Abraham got stoned, but if you know the law, how do they fulfill stoning? Stoning was, they would put the person on a high roof and they would push him off. And most of the time he would die already. If he didn't die, then they would throw a stone on him. But most of the time he would die from the... So the Benu Ari writes that when they threw Abraham into the fire, they threw him from the high floor. So that was considered Sikila as well. No problem. The third Mitat Bet Din is Henek. Henek is, God forbid, strangulation, drowning. I don't remember when Abraham drowned. But if you know the Midrash, you remember. It says when Abraham was going to the Akedah, they were traveling together, and all of a sudden, a river comes in front of him. He looks on the map, he says, hey, there's no river over here. Where does this river come from? That was the Satan that tried to block Abraham Avinu. He wanted Abraham Avinu to say, listen, we didn't bring a raft, we don't have a boat. How are we going to get across this river over here? We didn't bring bathing suits. That's it. Listen, Hashem, we tried. Let's go home. Instead, what did Avraham Avinu do? He told Yitzchak, listen, river, no river, we have to get to the other side. And they walked through. And they got up to... And he told God, I'm willing to drown. You told me to go through, I'm going through. God said, okay, God told the Satan, okay, leave him alone. And all of a sudden, the river... So that's where he accepted upon himself Henek. What I'm telling you now is a side point. I have another interpretation. You know that whenever the tzaddikim are about to do something great, a big mitzvah, they always go to the mikveh first. Avraham Avinu is going to the Akedah, he needs a mikveh. the Satan all of a sudden came to stop him. Avraham says, oh, Ishtabal, look at this, we have a mikveh over here. He went to the mikveh, he did tevilah, and then he went, he continued on his way. So he turned the Satan's impediment into an opportunity. Since he made tevilah in the mikveh, you think Avraham's not going to go to the mikveh before the Akedat Yitzhak? A lot of men go to the mikveh every Friday, the Chabot Shabbat. The Akedah is a very, very big mitzvah. Certainly they're going to go to the mikveh. That's what he went. He went to the mikveh. That's chenek. So I said to myself, but you're missing the fourth one. The fourth one is death by the sword. And we never see anywhere that Avraham Avinu accepted death by the sword. But according to this, now we understand that Avraham Avinu wanted to sacrifice himself. What did Avraham Avinu tell his son? I'll slaughter myself. Borei Olam says, that's the fourth one. And at that moment, he made the tikkun of Adam Rishon. That is, that's what the Hidah says, by the way. I'll read you the words of Hidah. The Hidah says, I quote, Ki Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom, this is from the book called Devash Lefi. Ki Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom, Ki Ber Kol Arba Mitot Bedin. All four. He says, and what's the fourth one? Shesha'al lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shishot Atzmo. Because God told him to slaughter himself. Nezir Shneiman Ibincha Ki Hidecha. Rotze Loman Nishmatcha. Vekibel. And he told the son, don't worry, you don't have to slaughter me. I'll slaughter myself. But then he had a technical problem. Who's going to bring the Qurban? Forget about it. But God considers the thought as if it was... He was willing. That's all. That's all it has to be. For the tikkun, has to be a will, but a genuine will. Incidentally, as a side point, that's when he fulfilled all the four punishments. He did it at the Mizbeah, in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, and that's where Adam HaRishon was created from. We learned in Nashim, Parashat Bereshit, that God took the dirt from the place of the Mizbeah. So look at that. The tikkun was done exactly at the original location. This is all done with great, great precision. The lesson I learned from this derash is twofold. One is a general lesson. The general lesson is, no matter how many times you go back to this perashah of Akedat Yitzhak, there'll always be a surprise, and this is the surprise. And you tell me, you mean, Rabbi, you didn't know this last year? I didn't know this last week. Forget about last year. Don't give me so much credit. But because I went to the text objectively, and I started to look for simanim, for different problems in the text, and I let the text talk to me instead of me telling the text what to say, a secret was revealed. But the main hidush over here is, look at the avot. Look at the love that the Avotenu HaKedoshim had for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That their competition and their fighting was who could give their life up for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu is not a regular Kohen. Avraham Avinu is Kohen Gadol. Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given. And the greatest service of Avraham Avinu, he's willing to give his life up for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he has no reservations to do it. The only reservation is, how can we pull it off halakhically? But other than that, he's willing to give even Yechidecha, and that's Ki Barecha Barechecha. My blessing to all of you is as follows. Every morning when we read the Akedat Yitzhak, we just read it. We don't explain it, we don't interpret it. And after the Akedah, or before, we say, God, in the merit that we're reading this story, remember Abraham, remember Yitzhak, remember the promise. Well, I say to myself, if just by reading it, God remembers the tzaddikim and gives us blessing, then for sure, learning it and expounding upon it certainly must bring us blessing. So therefore I say, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avotenu, Zochreinu b'Zichron Tov Melefanecha, Ufokdeinu b'Pekudat Yeshuah v'Rachamim M'Shemesh Shemekedem, Uzchonanu Ahavat HaKadmonim, Abraham, Yitzhak, V'Yisrael Abadecha. Hashem nishbat alehem, the Avraham Avinu Bahar Moriah, that God should remember the blessing The blessing that he told them, Kibarech Abarechecha, and that's my blessing that I say to Kahal Kadosh today, Kibarech Abarechecha Ve'arbe Ezaracha, and all the blessings that followed, not because we read it, but because we learned it and we revealed a higher understanding of it. The level of not Akedat Yitzhak, but the level of Akedat Avraham.